Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to the CMI School of Christ. And we're going to continue with our class, Ministry in the Appearing of Christ. And before we continue for this class, I just wanted to look a little bit at our last class, because it's still along the same lines. Our last class, we covered Joshua and the walls of Jericho, or we didn't get to the walls of Jericho, but we will a little bit this class. But we basically covered dealing with Joshua and how that Joshua continued in purpose and how that Joshua continued in the appearing of the Lord and what all that meant. So I'll just mention a couple of things with Joshua here. Joshua sees... the first thing with Joshua is that we had mentioned that he was by Jericho. Okay, so he's continuing in purpose. All right, he's continuing in purpose. And the thing with Joshua is that Joshua was originally of those that came out of Egypt. Okay, he entered, he was obedient to the voice, entered in through the door, obedient unto the appearing of Christ as the Lamb, entered through the door with the blood on it. He was there at the Passover. He was there at the crossing of the Red Sea when the Lord told Moses to tell the people, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I believe Joshua, amongst others, a few, saw the salvation of the Lord. They didn't see Egyptians dying or being buried or being drowned and buried in the Red Sea. They saw the salvation of the Lord. Okay? Because there's something greater than an outward thing that's going on. It's Christ Himself. All right. He was there in the wilderness. He was one of the first, right when they came to the edge the first time, to going into the land and continuing in purpose. He was there as one of the 12 spies, him and Caleb. Okay, let me backtrack a little bit. He was also there when Israel refused to continue to hear the voice of the Lord, to see the great glory of God, right? To see the great image, the greatness of the Lord. He was there. Joshua was there, okay? He was there when Israel rejected continuing in purpose. He was there when it was time to go in and fulfill outward obedience. He was there when the 12 spies were sent in. He was one of the spies. Listen to this. He was one amongst two, him and Caleb, that came back with a good report. He didn't... The 10, the others, came back with an evil... Listen to this. 10 of the 12 spies came back with an evil report. Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report. What did they say? They talked about the fruit of the land. The great fruit of the land. How magnificent the fruit of the land. They declared the increase of Christ is what they were doing. That is what they were doing. They were declaring the increase of Christ that would be found in the land. The fruit. The fruit isn't us. The fruit isn't us increasing or this or that. No, no, no. The increase is the increase of one. It's the increase of Christ. They saw the fruit. They saw the increase. They saw the, if you will, the death, burial, resurrection of Christ and Him having His increase. Okay? They declared the good report versus the 10 that declared an evil report. Joshua continued in purpose. He continued in the appearing of Christ. Okay? Looking at the same passage, and I don't know if we looked at this in our last class or not, but let me just go ahead and turn there and read the passage, lest I misquote it. We've looked at this verse several times, and I'll just go ahead and read it. But it's in 2 Corinthians. It's chapter 2, verse 17. Remember, Joshua and Caleb, of the 12 spies, the total of 12 that went in and brought back a report. Okay. Two brought back, as I stated, a good report. 10 brought back an evil report. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Okay. There is a lot. I don't know if I should say the term a lot. There's a lot. Let me do this with our diagram. There's much that can be found, much that can be seen, much that can be declared in a darkened understanding. And there is, all right? There is greater that can be declared in light. But as Paul stated it, we just read the verse, we are not as many. Many who declare an evil report. Why? Because it is not good. And God saw the light, and God saw that the light was good. Okay? A good report. So here we have Joshua. He's continuing in purpose. He's continuing in the hearing of the Lord. All right? He was, how shall I say it, patient while this whole generation right here that refused purpose walked around and dropped one by one till the whole generation was done and over with. He continued faithful. He continued in purpose. Right? And I'll go ahead and just say this. He continued and he endured just as Moses himself endured. We saw it in Hebrews as seeing him who is invisible. That's how they endured all this, okay? And even during that time of the 40 years in the wilderness, wandering in the wilderness, the ignorance of the wilderness, I said it better in a previous class, in one of the previous classes, in the wilderness of ignorance, okay? They continued there 40 years. But see, during that whole entire time, the Lord continues because he has one purpose, the appearing of his Son in the soul, the appearing of his Son in the midst, in the heart, in the soul, all right, in his people. So here we have Joshua who's continuing and he still continues the manna. Jesus is the bread from heaven. We covered this in a previous class. The rock that brought forth the water, Jesus is the greater rock. All these things, the sweet waters, all these things, Christ was appearing. And the people saw things, and the not so many continued in purpose and saw Christ, the substance of the things. So there we have Joshua. He's continuing in purpose. It's kind of the whole situation there. So he comes up, he's by Jericho, he's about to continue in purpose, and then he lifts up his eyes, beautiful, the order, lifts up his eyes, and looked, and behold, over against him, with his sword drawn, and I like that, over against him. I love that. With his sword drawn in his hand, and Joshua went unto him, he saw a man, there stood a man, and Joshua went unto him. Joshua continues drawing near. We covered this in our previous class. And then the basic question, art thou for us or for our adversaries? For me or for our adversaries? And the response of the Lord is, what is it? Nay. No. 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 And then as captain of the Lord of hosts of the Lord, but as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. And we know that the term there, fell, is Strong's number 5307, and it basically means to fall of violent death. Okay? Because Joshua had his concepts. Joshua was governed by his own mind, in a sense. He, by his own mind, by his own concepts, by his own thoughts, by his own imagination, by his own illusion. But here, brother and sister, if we continue in purpose, just as Joshua did, and Joshua's just a type right there, if we continue in purpose, the appearing of the Lord, we will come to the place where we see the Lord. And the Lord, I'm not sure if I stated in our last class. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. God will never be in what we are doing, in what we are about, even the people of God. We must be in what He is about, in His purpose. We must be found in His purpose. It's never the other way around. We can't start saying, oh, well, I'm going to go off and I'm going to serve the Lord and I'm going to do this to serve the Lord. No, remember, to obey is better than sacrifice. So, just saying that, I am now come. I am now come. He was come as the Lamb. He was come as the salvation of the Lord. He was come as the manna. He was come as the rock. He was come as the rod, etc., etc., etc. And now, as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come. Because Joshua continues in purpose. Okay, so he falls on his face. He falls dead. It's going to be real important here in a little bit. To the earth, and did worship. And then what saith my Lord unto his servant? The automatic response. What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. We basically were saying that your carnal mind has no place here. Your natural walk, your natural mode of progress. Excuse me. Your natural walk, your natural progress has no place here. And he did so. He left what is of the natural to continue and now walk. That's what it is. In the light, as he is in the light. He continues in purpose. Okay. So that's a quick summary of our last class. And I just wanted to mention that because it comes straight into our next class right here. And I had some notes in Spanish because I'm doing the same class in Spanish as well. And I just wanted to have them here just in case. There were things that I covered in the Spanish class that I definitely want to make sure I cover in this class that we're having right now. Okay. Yeah, there it is. Excuse me. Okay, so this passage right here, our next passage, that was the passage I was going over was Joshua chapter 5, 13 through 5, verse 13 through 15. Excuse me. Got to get a cough drop real quick. This class is Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, this passage, and we may get it covered and go on a little further, or may not. I'm not sure yet. But that's this passage right here. So I'll just go ahead and start reading. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Verse 2, And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. Verse 3, And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days, and 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets, and it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Okay. I'll just start off with the first verse. Now Jericho was straitly shut up. I have a Easton's Bible Dictionary. I wrote down an excerpt from it for the term Jericho in this passage, because I looked it up straight from this passage. It basically says this about Jericho: the strongest fortress in all the land of Canaan. It was straitly shut up. The strongest fortress, excuse me, in all the land of Canaan. The strongest fortress. Okay. Because of the children of Israel. Was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And I wrote a comment on that. None went out and none came in. There was no exit nor entrance of the gospel. There was no exit nor entrance of light. See, I know we're looking at it as ultimately, here it is. Ultimately, the type, the shadow's there. Joshua is a type and shadow of Christ. We know that. Here's Jericho. Here is a soul. Just hold off on the diagram for right now. A soul that is not born again, straitly shut up, a fortress, a stronghold. Okay. Nothing came out. Nothing came in. Because of what? Because of Joshua. Because of the children of Israel, who are a type of Christ. Because of Israel, the Son, the Prince, the Son of God. And we know that, nevertheless, the Lord comes in. Okay? Now, because we've been looking at it in our classes, and obedience unto the heart, see, now we can look at our diagram. Do we remember here? Israel was in death. They were dead. The Lord sent a deliverer, who is in type of Moses, who is in type of Christ. There's the death of the Lamb. They go through the door. They enter here, the death of death. They come into the Red Sea, the burial. Death is buried, and only the Son comes forth out of resurrection. Remember? Egypt does not come out of the Red Sea. They remain buried. Okay, so now here we have them. In reality, they're in type, in resurrection, okay? Just as the believer, the moment they are born again, their state of death has come to an end. They've been crucified with Christ, dead, buried with Christ, and only one life has come forth out of the grave, Christ, who is the life of the believer. Okay, now, I know I stated it in one class, I think it might have been not the, our last class, but the previous class, before our last class. That which is accomplished, that which is true in reality in Christ, must be known, be acknowledged, be seen to be true in our own hearts. Okay? Remember, when Jesus entered into the temple, he drove out everything out of the temple. All the activity of man out of the temple. And only he remained in the temple. That's exactly what happens when one is born again. But what is it? What about all these problems and situations and this and that? Nothing is brought into Christ of that. It all ends right here in the cross. It's all buried out of the sight of God. Now listen, it must be buried out of our sight. How is it buried out of our sight? Only by seeing him. Okay? We carry these things, these imaginations, these illusions in our heart. The vanity of our heart. The vain imagination of the heart. You find it in the Old Testament scriptures. Vain imagination of the heart. And there it goes. These imaginations, these illusions are dealt with only in the appearing of Christ. Only as our heart turns unto the Lord and the veil is removed and the truth is seen in the person of Christ. Light appears. The light of life. As God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, so hath he shined in. Now it's in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, exclusively found only in the face of Jesus Christ. Okay? So now, here, what is in reality must... I don't want to say the... Well, I won't even say it. Must be known to be so in our hearts. What is real must be real unto us in our hearts. That we walk, that we may walk in the truth. That we may walk in light and no longer walk in darkness. Our vain imaginations or our vain illusions. See? We can't bring our walk into here. No. Here is found his walk in light. That's what I think it was David or the psalmist said, that I may walk in the land of the living. In the land of the living. No longer walking in the vain imagination, vain illusion of my heart. In my heart, now it's only in my heart, among the dead. Alright, so there's the situation now. Okay, Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. No light went out and no light came in. With our diagram, no light went out and no light came in. Straitly shut up. The strongest, Easton said it, Jericho, the strongest fortress in all the land of Canaan. The strongest, most resisting, most fortified. And we will look at the passage. I'll just mention it out there. Pulling down strongholds and every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. I'll just go ahead and read the passage since I mentioned it. All right. This is, what do you know? This is 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. But what does the captain of the Lord's host say to the one who turns and continues and sees him? What does that soul say? What saith my Lord? What would you have thy servant do? Take thy sandal off thy foot, for this place is holy. You'll not have your walk of the flesh here. This is a walk of the Spirit. This is a walk of light. This is the walk of life. Right here, in light, governed, the supreme governing authority. No longer us, but us, if you will, dethroned. Wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, okay, now he's in the natural, you know, we do not walk after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians, to the church. Not to unbelievers, but to believers. Casting down, I love this, beautiful, imaginations. I've got a side note here for the term imaginations. It says reasonings. Casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Captivity, every thought unto the obedience of Christ. I love it. I love it. Continuing in purpose. All right? Continuing in the appearing of Christ. Being obedient unto the heavenly voice. Turning to see the voice and being obedient unto the heavenly vision. Continuing in the appearing of Christ. Obedient. The inward obedience of the heart. Jericho was straitly shut up. The strongest fortress in all the land of Canaan. The strongest fortress. Because of the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this is verse 2, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. I've delivered it unto you. I've given it unto you. Verse 3, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. I didn't during this whole time. We'll look at it, if not in this class, in our next class. During this whole time, they're not to make a sound. They're not to open their mouth. They're just. You shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. All you're going to do is go round the city one time for 6 days. Not say a word. Open not your mouth. Right? You're going to march around the city one time every day for 6 days. You'll encompass the city once. I mean, it says it right there. And you shall compass the city, all you men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. But see, this is under the government of captain of the hosts of the Lord. This is under the government of the supreme governing authority, where there is no natural walk here, but listen to me, the walk of faith. Faith is the substance of that which is hoped for, the expectation of that, the evidence of that which cannot be seen with the natural. It's not a natural walk. It's a walk in the Spirit. Faith. Okay? And go round about the city once. Thou shalt do 6 days. See, during this whole time, there was going to be no effort of man present. Okay, I'm not too much on numerology, but 6 is the number of man. You can look at it in Genesis. 6 is the number of man. Look at it later. I'm not going to go into it now. All right. There will be no activity of man. There will be no walk of man found here, because what the captain of the hosts of the Lord said was, take off thy sandal from this place. For the place whereon thou standest is holy. There was going to be nothing of the natural involved in this. No, listen, no natural sounding. No, none of the words of man. None that comes forth out of the mouth of man. Okay, none of that going on. And you shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. 6 days you're going to do this. Just walk around the city. March around the city. No activity of man. No shouting or doing this or saying this. No conversation of man. For conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the blessed appearing of the Lord our God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 4. And 7 priests. Don't you like that? Why 7? Oh my gosh, 7 priests. Got to put my pen down. The Lord rested on the 7th day. Jesus said, the Sabbath is not for God. The Sabbath is for man. Jesus also said, it is not I, but the Father in me that doeth the works. Paul said, it is not I, but Christ who liveth in me. Seven priests. Do you remember the priestly blessing? Remember? It was the blessing that the priests were supposed to pronounce upon the congregation, upon the sons of Israel. It's our class 14. It's number 622 through 27. I'll just read it. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise, in this manner, you shall bless the sons of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance, his face upon thee, and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. 7 priests. And 7 priests, okay? 7 of those who declare the blessing. 7 of those who in their minds declare purpose, the eternal blessing, the eternal purpose, the face of God, the countenance of God. It's the eternal blessing. 7 who are at rest. Seven, who can, with all confidence and sobriety of heart and understanding, declare, "It is not I, but God. It is not I, but Christ. I do not govern here. The Lord governs here. This is not my walk here. This is His walk, the heavenly vision. It is not I, but Christ." Seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns. Verse 4 again. "And seven priests shall bear before the ark." This is the ark of the testimony. Okay? The ark of the testimony, which represents the face of God. It's before the presence of God. The ark of the testimony, that's what it represents. Remember? We covered this in previous classes. The cherubim face to face. Declaring, testifying of a heavenly relationship. Of a heavenly communion. Of a heavenly fellowship that is only found face to face. The fellowship of the Father and the Son that we have come into. And from here, the Lord says, "From here will I meet with thee." From above the mercy seat, between the cherubim, the presence of God. "And seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets." Don't you love this? Seven priests with seven trumpets before the ark of the Lord will bear and going before the ark of the Lord. Seven priests with seven trumpets of ram's horns. I love this. I think of this, and I'll just say it. I think of John the Baptist the way Jesus said, I'm not sure if it was Jesus or the angel speaking about John, "Shall go before the face of the Lord." We covered this in a previous class. "Shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare the way of the Lord." To declare the acceptable year of the Lord. He shall go before His face to declare His coming, to declare His presence, to declare His face, His appearing. This is how the whole entire testimony works in our heart. And then there's Jesus, who sent 70 out to go before His face, where He Himself, listen, would come. "But as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns." The term trumpets is Strong's number 7782. It basically means this in the Strong's Hebrew dictionary, or the Old Testament lexicon. It means a cornet, a trumpet, a cornet, as giving a clear sound, a distinct sound, the sounding forth of the gospel, clear, distinct. Listen, no mixture. We are not as many, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. A distinct, a clear sound. The sounding of the gospel. The sounding of Christ. Christ is the gospel. It's the sounding of Christ. Okay? I love this. It goes on. "Seven trumpets of ram's horns. And the seventh day you shall compass the city seven times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets." Verse 5. "And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn," and the phrase "when they make a long," the Strong's number 4900, I went ahead and just looked it up. It's prolong. It's one of the definitions is prolong. One of the ways it's translated into the English is continue. See, the reason why I bring that out is because in the Spanish translation, it's translated prolonging, a continuing. That's how it's translated in the Spanish version, Reina Valera 1960. But when they shall make a continuing blast sound with the ram's horn, when they start continually, on the seventh day they'll blow continually, nothing less than a clear, distinct sound. Continually, nothing less. Nothing more, nothing less. And when ye hear, I love this. Here are the priests, seven of them, who know the priestly blessing, who know the purpose, the eternal purpose of God, who know the eternal blessing, who walk in an understanding of not I, but other. Not I, but Jehovah. Not I, but Christ. Okay? They're declaring this distinct sound, clear, continually. And when ye hear, speaking to the whole entire congregation of Israel, when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all right, you're going to love this. I know you probably where your hearts have already gone, because I'm going to cover it, but I'm going to look at this first. When ye hear, oh, here it is Strong's number 8085. Okay? We looked at, that Strong's number in a previous class. We looked at, well, we've been looking at it in several classes, in our class number 24. I'll just read to you real quick the passage where we started looking at it from. 1 Samuel 15:22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Strong's number 8085. Means basically this: the heart that listens unto obedience. I won't go over that class. That was class 24. You can check it out again. When ye hear, the voice, and are obedient unto the voice, to turn to see the voice, when ye hear the sound of. Now the phrase "the sound of" is Strong's number 6963. And I say all this, I give all these terms, not to give you some, gosh, inflated carnal knowledge, religious knowledge in your head. No. I share this because it is a testimony of Christ. The testimony that we must come face to face with in the appearing of Christ. Because we can see it in the Scripture, we can see it in the testimony, but until our heart turns to see it in His face, then that which is real is not effectual in us. Though He is in us, is not effectual in us. Everything is automatic in the appearing of Christ. Everything is automatic when hearts turn unto the Lord and the veil is removed and we behold Him, the glory of God, in the face of Jesus Christ, face to face. Everything's automatic right there. So, and when you hear and are obedient, when you hear and are obedient, once again, the sound of that phrase is Strong's number 6963. You can look at it in the Strong's. You can look at it in the Brown Driver Briggs lexicons, Hebrew lexicons. It's basically voice. Don't you love that? Voice. And when you hear and are obedient unto the voice of the trumpet, as giving a clear sound. I want us to look at this passage real quick. The passage that I told you was probably already on your heart. And I know you've probably already turned there. This is the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 9 through 12. I, John, who am also your brother and companion in tribulation, in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in, verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Don't you love that? I was in the Spirit, not in the natural. My walk was not in the natural. It was in the Spirit. I had no sandal of the natural, no sandal, no walk of the natural here. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am. I'll let that just sink in your hearts, in your ears, in your hearts just for a second. I heard and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am. Verse 12, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw. Beautiful description of Christ as light. That's what it is. We've already gone over this in a previous class. Okay. Then, verse 17 and 18. And when I saw him, for it was his voice, and his voice is as a great voice. No, his voice is a great voice as of a trumpet, because it is clear, distinct. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And it goes on, the Lord says, fear not, I am. Verse 18, I am he that liveth. Back in the book of Joshua. Verse 4. And seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns. And the seventh day you shall compass the city seven times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. Verse 5. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long, continuous, prolonged, continuing blast with the ram's horns, and when you hear the voice, and when you hear and are obedient unto the voice of the trumpet, I want us also to look at Strong's number 7 for trumpet. The trumpet, Strong's number 7782. It is a cornet as giving a clear sound. As giving a clear sound. Now this term is from Strong's number 8231, which means to be pleasing, to be beautiful, to be fair, to be bright, to glisten. But unto whom? Unto whom is this sound of the trumpet, this voice of the Lord, pleasant, beautiful, fair, bright, glistening? Unto whom? It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 through 8. Unto them that love his appearing. And only unto them that love his appearing. Why? Because it means the end of our imagination, the end of our illusion. And we fear not the end of our imagination, the end of our illusion, but we fear the Lord. We fear not the loss of our imagined lives. That's what Jesus said. If you love what you think is your life, you will, in your heart, lose in your heart Him who is your life. The knowledge of Him who is your life. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If you love what you think is your life, your illusion, your imagination, you will lose out on knowing Him who truly is your life now if you are born again. It's a huge difference. A huge difference. Let's go ahead and read that. 2 Timothy, since I've got it written down. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 through 8. For I am now ready to be offered, this is Paul speaking, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have fought a good fight. I have fought the good fight. I did not fight an evil fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have kept the eternal object in view. I have kept the substance in view. What did he tell to King Agrippa? King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. I've kept the faith. I've kept purpose. I continued in purpose. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto them, unto all them also that love his appearing. I love it. That love his appearing. To these the voice is pleasant. To these the voice is beautiful. To these the voice is fair. Is bright, is glistening. And I mentioned fair. Your heart, your mind, your might have gone to Song of Solomon. Fair. Right? Fair above 10,000s. The Lord Himself. The Lord Himself. My beloved, the Lord Himself. To them that love His appearing. To them that love His appearing. At the cost of their illusions and imaginations. All right. So it goes on. When they make a long, continuous, prolonged blast with a ram's horn, and when ye hear, when ye hear and are obedient unto the voice of the trumpet, I remember I was talking with a brother, Brother David, earlier. We were just mentioning, and I'm thinking of a different term now. When the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. The term to turn is the same exact Greek word that Jesus spoke to Peter about. You know, he said, Peter, Satan's come to sift you, but when thou art converted, it's the same term, Strong's number, I think it's 1994. I think it's that. In the Greek, it's epistrepho, I think. But when thou art converted, when thou art turned, then strengthen thy brethren. When your heart finally turns unto the Lord and the veil is removed, and you see the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, then you can strengthen the brethren. Until then, you can do nothing. Until then, you are as many corrupting the word of God. when ye hear unto obedience the voice of the trumpet, and you turn your heart unto the Lord, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend, every man straight before him. And when ye hear the sound, when ye hear the voice, when you are obedient unto the voice of the trumpet of the Lord, all the people shall shout with a great shout. Praise God. It is not I, but Christ. Now, I'm not sure what they were going to shout, but that's something to shout about. And the wall of the city, the wall of the strongest fortress in Jericho, shall fall down flat. The phrase shall fall down is Strong's number 5307. Brother, sister, this is what we saw in our previous class with Joshua chapter 5. It was verse 14. Where it says, and Joshua said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Verse 14. And he said, the captain of the host of the Lord, nay, no. But as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? And Joshua fell, 5307, on his face to the earth, to fall of violent death. Here we have it. When ye hear unto obedience the voice of the Lord, the voice of the trumpet, and your heart finally turns unto the Lord, and the veil is removed, and you behold, as in a glass, the glory of God found in the face of Jesus Christ, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall of a violent death flat. Ready to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. The stronghold came down in the obedience of the heart. Not in anything they did. They did nothing. Remember, for 6 days they did nothing. The seventh day, they did nothing. It was a day of rest. They did nothing. When ye hear and are obedient unto the voice of the trumpet, unto the voice of the Lord, whenever your heart turns to the Lord, whenever you hear the heavenly voice and are obedient unto the heavenly voice, that you turn to see the heavenly voice and you behold the heavenly vision and you continue in the heavenly vision, the vain imaginations, the vain illusions of the heart fall as dead. And only he that liveth remains. And he declares himself, I am he that liveth. He declares himself, I am. And we continue in the appearing of the Lord. We continue in the appearing of the I am. Amen? In the appearing of the I am. It's all the same. The testimony is declaring the purpose of God. The testimony is declaring Christ, the purpose for the soul. Brother and sister, we cannot declare Christ. We cannot declare the purpose of God. We cannot declare the purpose for the soul unto others, except we ourselves serve that purpose in our heart. Except we ourselves, in our own hearts, turn unto the Lord and with an unveiled face, then strengthen your brethren. But until then, don't try to do anything. Because it will be not a clear sound, but a sound of mixture. The difference. But when thou art converted, when thou art turned unto the Lord, then strengthen thy brethren. That's where it comes from. This work comes from the ministry of God, comes out from the purpose of God. He will not be what we are involved in. We must be in what He is about. We must be found in His purpose, the appearing of Christ, nothing less. So, we'll end this class for now. Oh, I forgot to make an announcement at the beginning of the class. We're not going to have a couple classes, I think. I think it's a couple classes. I'm not quite sure. We're going to be out on a conference, so we won't be having our next class or maybe the class afterwards. I'm not sure exactly. So just with what we've been sharing concerning Joshua and the walls of Jericho, let the Lord deal with our hearts. May the Lord deal with our hearts. May we not be resisting the voice, resisting His dealing with our hearts. May we not be resisting to let go of our vain imaginations, our vain illusions. The struggle is there, the tighter we hold on to these things. The tighter we hold on to these things that we consider, that we imagine to be our life, when they are not our life. We just have not seen Him who is our life. May the Lord deal with our hearts, that we may continue in purpose and see Him who is our life. And out from seeing Him who is our life, be governed by light. Be governed by the supreme authority, the supreme governing authority Himself. And out from this, brother and sister, automatically, the strengthening of the brethren. The ministry of God. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you all. We'll see you in our next class. Amen.